Amen. Okay, let's close in prayer. Pastor Jim and the musicians, they took my sermon. So, which is good because, like Pastor Jim said, it was yesterday that we found out about Pastor Jim and everything else. And about, 1, 2 o'clock, I said to my wife, I'm preaching, I'm going to have to sit down and put my thing into place. And just between yesterday, what God passed on to me and what Pastor Jim was talking about this morning, what the musicians and that sang, all ties in together. In God good. Amen. Happy New Year, by the way, to everybody and everybody watching. I want to ask one question, and it ties in. What are your plans for the new year? Or better still, what is God's plan for you for the new year? A lot of times, how many of you make New Year's resolutions? Hands up. How many of you just keep them? New Year's resolutions are made to be broken. But in my reading of the Bible, I found the best New Year's resolution out that we should all keep. And to set a bit of background, we've got Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and we all know the scripture in John 3. And he's questioning. He's a man who is high up. He preaches. He knows everything. He's got the head knowledge of what the Old Testament says. But something's missing. And a good example of that is last night I was talking with one of my co-workers, and one of the things that came out of his mouth is he said that I may know the Bible better than most Christians. Guess what? He's right. But he's like Nicodemus. He's got the head knowledge, not the heart knowledge. He hasn't got the Spirit of God in him to reveal what the messages are about and what God wants to do in his life. And Nicodemus is in the same situation. And Jesus then goes on to explain to him about God loving the world and gave his only begotten Son, and that you must be born again. And what's Nicodemus say? Ha, that's impossible. How can I be born again? I'm an old man. But Jesus, he missed the point again. Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. He was talking about coming into the family of Christ. What I want to read from is from chapter 3, verse 22 onward. Because it starts off with, and it's interesting, because the first couple of words after Jesus was going through all this with Nicodemus, he says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. Here we've got two groups of people coming into disagreements about theology. I remember when I used to go up to our version of Nashville, it's Tamworth, where we have our big country and western festivals every year, and we had the Golden Guitar Awards and all that type of stuff. Me and a couple of mates, we used to do a lot of street preaching. One preacher came up to me one day, because I'd say, I don't care what church you go to, as long as you live Christ, love Christ and learn Christ. I don't care whether you've got the word Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, whatever above your door. If you live Christ, love Christ, and the preacher teaches Christ, that's good enough for me. this pastor said, you can't do that. You've got to get them to come to our church. And me, being the non-confrontationalist that I am, said, give me book, chapter and verse on that. Because my Bible says to bring them to Christ, not to you. And to make matters worse, as soon as people gave their hearts to the Lord, we take them straight down the river and baptise them. Again, you can't do that. Only pastors in this town are allowed to baptise. And again, me being the quiet, shy, introverted person I am, said the same thing. Give me book, chapter and verse. We need to do what Christ says, not what man says. We need to obey the word of God, not the word of man. Because religiosity is rife amongst the churches. And we need to come against it because religiosity causes division. Amen? We need to get religion out of our churches. We need to get Christ and Christianity and what Christ stood for and what Christ died for back into our churches. But guess what? It's got to start in our hearts first. We need to get religion out of here. My Bible says, as you have loved one for another, by this all men shall know you're my disciples. Pastor Jim hit the nail right. Pastor Tracy hit the nail right on the head. That doesn't mean just love each other here. That means loving the Baptist down the road. That means loving the drug addict in the street. That means loving the prostitute down the road. That means loving whoever Christ puts across our path. Last year, can you honestly say that everywhere you went, every day of your life, somebody sensed there was something different about you? Did people see Christ in you when you walked down the street? Did people, your family who don't know Christ, did they see Christ in you when there was disruptions in the family? Did they see Christ in you when problems came against you? If not, that needs to be your New Year's resolution, because he goes on to say, John goes on to say that as he increases, I must decrease. Amen. Let that be our New Year's resolution this year. Lord, have your way more in my life. Let there be more of you and less of me in everything I do, in everything I say, in everything I think, in my workplace, at home, whatever. Let people see you and me when I walk down the street. Let the Spirit of God shine upon them. Give me words to speak to them. Amen. Let that be our New Year's resolution. I couldn't think of a more better way to start off 2017 than say, here I am, Lord, use me. Come in. Whatever rooms I've locked to you that are full of dirt, are full of unforgiveness, are full of whatever, Holy Spirit, I give you permission right now to come into those rooms and wash me afresh. Come through with a grime cleaner. Come through with the scrub and brushes. Come through and do whatever you need to do. But Lord, have your way more in my life than and less of me be there. I want people to see you in me when they see me. Amen. In John 3:27, John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness with me that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. In Galatians, when Paul's writing to the church of Galatia, in 2:19 and 20 he says, I through the Lord died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer the I that lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. What an awesome, awesome part of Scripture. It goes back, that ties in with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, guess whoever is, anybody who wants to come and acknowledge who Christ is. It says whoever, not some. It says whoever, not this person, but this person. It says whoever. In other words, that's an open invitation for those who don't know Christ. I want to ask you a question this morning. Your knowledge of Christ, is it head knowledge or heart knowledge? If it's head knowledge, you need to move it from here to here. A pastor friend of mine said it's the shortest distance but takes the longest time. We can all have the head knowledge. We can all sit down and quote Scripture. Guess what? So can the unsaved. Most of them probably know the Scripture even better than me. I turn around and say, recite the Scripture and say it's somewhere between Genesis and Exodus, or somewhere between Genesis and Revelation. I know it's in the Bible, but you ask me where, and unless I've really done something with it, I couldn't tell you. But I know it's in there. I know the Word of God's in my heart. Have I got it all together? Mate, I think I've got about 5% of it together. Another friend of mine, when he taught on healing, he said, if you want your faith to grow, this is the best way to do it. Is, Lord, I've got 5% faith. You put the other 95% faith, and between the two of us, there's the 100% faith you want. Then when you see God starting to work, God, now I've got 20% faith. You put 80%. Lord, now I've got 30% faith. And that's how we get our faith to grow. Our faith has got to be like a muscle. We have got to work it. We've got to put it into action. Otherwise, it is not going to grow. It is not going to get strong. Amen? We need to push aside the spirit of fear. The letters in fear stand for false evidence appearing real. Any fear that holds you back from proclaiming Christ, from doing the work that God has set you to do, from utilizing your gifts, is from the devil. It is going to hold you back from doing what God wants. Like Pastor Tracy said, our gift, God gave us our gifts not for us to use, but to give away. We need to give away. What's your gift? What has God done for you? What does God want you to do? One of the best ways of finding out what your gift is, what do you do naturally? What comes natural to you? Is it giving? Is it getting beside people and encouraging them? Whatever you do naturally, that's what God has got in store for you. But sometimes he will get you to step out of your comfort zone. I've told Barb, when I was growing up back in Australia, I'd come home from school and I'd go into my bedroom. I'd come out for dinner, I'd go back in my bedroom. Of a weekend, I'd come out for meals, go back in my... I would not mix with anyone. To get me to even talk was a big issue. I could talk to animals. I could go by myself in the bush. And that. But to be around other people and to do what I'm doing now, fat chance. But guess what? One day I was at a cowboy Bible camp and I'm sitting on the fence waiting to have my goat roping, and God said, this is where I want you. I said, God, you've got three chances. Yours, Buckley's, and none. I ain't doing it. Who won? Not me. I live by faith in me. No, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Who's the world? Who's the world? We need to be sensitive to who we're talking to. I remember one time I was at a place in Sydney called King's Cross. And at that time I lived there, I go to sleep to the sound of guns going off every night. It was known for prostitution. It was known for drugs. It had strip joints. It had everything. It was a modern day, back then, Sodom and Gomorrah. One guy with the right intentions, one Christian with the right intentions, walked up to this prostitute and he said, God wants to be your father. Guess what her reaction was? If he wants to be my father, I don't want a bar of him, because my father raped me and my sister. My father bashed my mother. And if God wants to be a father to me, forget it. When we're talking to people about Christ, we need to say, Lord, how can I reach them? How can I make you real to them? Who remembers, a lot of you younger people won't, probably, remember a missionary by the name of Don Richards? He wrote a book called Peace Child. Anyone remember that book? No? Yep. Okay. Basically, the core of this subject was Don and his took his wife and new kids to Papua New Guinea to live amongst headhunters. And he went there with a typical mission mentality. I'm going to teach these heathens about Christ. So he went in boots and all. Guess what? When it came to telling the story of Christ's betrayal, they all thought that Judas Iscariot was the hero of the story, because their whole culture was built around betrayal. The longer you're a friend with somebody before you betray him and kill him, the greater the hero you are. So naturally, Don started getting a bit frantic. And one night he said, God, how can I get through to these people? And God said, I'm going to show you. The next morning he woke up and there was two warring chiefs outside his hut. And one of them passed his eldest son through his legs and handed it over to the other chief. As long as that child remained alive, there was peace amongst those two tribes. That child became the peace child. That night, God said, that's how you're going to reach them. You're going to tell them my son was the peace child between me and them. And once they found out that Judas actually betrayed the peace child, those guys today still walk up to 3 to 4 days to get to a church service. They came to Christ because they found out that Christ was relevant to their culture. You want to talk to street kids? Find out what their culture is. Find out what their belief system is. You want to talk to drug addicts? Find out where they're coming from. Find their stories. You want to talk to anybody? First of all, find out where they're coming from. You want to talk to cowboys? Find out what's dear to our hearts. There's one scripture that says, what does it say? What profits a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? When I'm talking to my guys on the circuit, I say, so what if you win the all-round championship buckle? It's not going to get you into heaven. Your faith in the buckle and your ability to win that buckle is not going to get you into heaven. That buckle is going to rust. That buckle is going to fade away. What's going to get you into heaven is the same amount of faith and trust you put in your abilities you now put in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Those seats you're sitting in, did you check them before you sat down? Or did you just sit in them? So basically you sat in them by faith that nobody tampered with them, that they were going to actually hold you. True? Yes? Okay. Guess what? Christ wants you to put that much faith in him. He wants you to sit and rest in him. Don't sit down there and see if there's any catches or somebody's tampered with something. Just come and sit down and rest in him. Then see what God can do. Because if you're busy, guess what? Christ can't get through. The Holy Spirit cannot get through if you're so busy doing everything else, you haven't got time to listen to him. You need to take time to rest. You need to take time to sit back and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? 1 thing that I twisted around, and he's a guy I had a lot of respect for, believe it or not, as an Australian, was John Kennedy. Remember the speech he said, don't ask what your country can do for you? Guess what? Don't ask what God can do for you. Say, God, what do you want me to do for you? We always go to God with gimme, 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 gimme. Don't we? How about this coming year we sit back and say, God, what do you want me to do for you today? Who do you want me to reach for you? Who do you want me to talk to you for you? Who do you want me to share your love with? Even if it's just a neighbour that's sick and you take him over a casserole. Even if you've got a neighbour that's grass is growing long or got snow on the drive and you know that they haven't got a snow shovel or they're too sick to do it, go over there and shovel their driveway for them. Guess what? You're showing the love of Christ. Evangelism is not a big thing. Evangelism is showing the love of Christ to a world that doesn't know him. That's all it is. Your actions are going to speak louder than any words you'll ever speak. True? If there's people here, even on live stream, that say, yes, I want to make a difference this year. I want God to be more in my life. Or if I don't know God, I want to. How can I be sure that when I ask, God's going to answer me? Do I feel anything? No, not always. Faith is not a touchy-feely type thing. Faith is sitting in a chair without checking it, knowing that it's going to hold you. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not maybe, not might, but you will be saved. No ifs, buts or maybe about it. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever, there's that word again, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this is something I believe we all need to take into this new year. And it's Romans 1:16. Which says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. I think I've said it before here when I shared the word last time, that we look at Veterans Day, we look at Anzac Day in Australia, and we see our soldiers proudly marching, saying, "I'm proud of what I did. I did my service to protect my family, my friends, and my country." But how many of us are proud to walk up to a friend, to a stranger, and say, "Hey, I'm a Christian and I've got a message for you"? I think as we go into the new year, we should take the first part of Romans 16 to heart and to start living it and asking God, how can we get that boldness of Peter? "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power." What is the gospel? Why do you think they call it the gospel? Because it's for a sick world. Only the sick need to take pills, don't they? That's what's called the gospel, not the gospel. Okay? We need to take it to the world because the world's sick. We got family and friends that are going to a hell. I know when I get to glory, I'd love to turn around and see my family beside me. I'd love to see a lot of my friends beside me. But if I'm ashamed of the gospel, if I'm ashamed to tell them the message of the gospel, guess what? There's probably a good chance they won't be there. I'll finish with this story. Growing up, I went through a lot of rubbish. And my grandfather was there through everything. He was my rock. He was my dad. He was my grandfather. He was my brother. Pop was everything to me. But do you think I could talk to him about the Bible? Not a chance. One day I lived in a state, another state away from where the old fellow lived, and I got a phone call that he had a major stroke. So I rushed down to Sydney by bus, begged, borrowed and stole the money to get the bus down. And saw him, the stroke was that bad that he was completely paralysed. And I stayed there for some time with him. And then I had to get back to Brisbane to work. And then a while later, I got a phone call. He had another turn for the worse. So back on the bus, I got back down to Sydney. And on the way down, I was praying, "Lord, if you really want me to reach my grandfather, you make sure that damn room's empty when I get there. I'm the oldest grandchild of 57, just on Dad's side of the family." And anyway, I got there, I got to the hospital, and my uncles and my auntie were all in the room, and I'm going, I won't tell you what I thought and said. It was very unpastory. But within 5-10 minutes, every one of them left the room and left me alone with my grandfather. Pop couldn't talk. But I sat down next to the old man and I said, "Pop, you've seen me go through a lot of rubbish." He saw me go through attempted suicides. He saw me go through overdoses. The whole kit and caboodle. And I said, "You've seen the change in me over the last 20 years. I said, "Pop, you haven't got long to live. Can I tell you what changed my life?" That night, I led my grandfather to the Lord. He died Christmas Day. That was back in 89. I still miss the old sod. But I know I'm going to see him again. I know without a shadow of a doubt that we're going to get together and we're going to have a lot of fun like we used to. It now works out that he was the pebble in my life. Christ is the rock. He's the rock of your life. What bigger and greater honour can you give this year than to say, Lord, here I am, use me. And when God says go, you go. When God says sit, rest, even if it's from ministry, you sit and rest. Because when he tells you to rest, I can tell you right now, he's got something bigger and better in store for you to do. If you are faithful in the little, he'll make you king over much. What little thing is God calling you to do this year? Are you hearing? Are you asking him? How can you be a better person? How can you show his love to a dying world? When he talks, listen. When he talks, act. Because I've always found out this, God will only give three answers. Yes, no, or wait. And a lot of times we think when he says wait, he's actually saying no. He's not saying no. What he's saying is wait, because I've got something better. I never would have thought, even before I came here to the States nearly 3 years ago, that I'd be preaching in a church this big where it's going live to other places. Are you ready to act if God calls you right now? If not, let that prayer, as I decreased, let him increase. Let that be a reality in our lives. Let that be our New Year's resolution. And sit back and watch what God does through you. You are going to get blown away. You think God can't use you? Hey, he used a jackass. And guess what? He's been using jackasses ever since. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Can I have my stand-in pianist up here, please? Father God, we just give you thanks, Lord, for what you get beforehand and by faith for what you're going to be doing this year through us. Lord, let our hearts say, here I am, Lord, use me. And give us the boldness of Peter as on the day of Pentecost, Father God, where he stepped out and he preached your word. Lord, put people across our path that you want us to reach. But most of all, let your love shine through us that when we walk down the street, when we go to work, whatever we do, that people see you in us instead of seeing us in you. Lord, we ask right now for words to speak to our family, our friends, our co-workers that don't know you. Lord, your word says, preach first in Jerusalem, then Judea, then the rest of the world. Our Jerusalem is our family. Our Jerusalem is our work sites. Our Jerusalem is our circle of friends. Let us first be a witness for you there. Use us, we ask this year, Lord, as we go through it. And we just sit back and we wait in awe. And we wait with a rejoicing heart, Father God, because we know your word is yes and amen. And we thank you for what you're going to do this year. And we give you the glory for it ahead of time. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, if you need prayer this morning for anything, please, we're making the front open right now. I'd like to ask the elders to come forward, please. If anyone wants prayer, we're here to pray with you. Please don't leave this room. If God was speaking to you this morning, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to step out and say, God, I need help. God, I need you more this year than I did last year. So if that's you this morning, just come out the front and we'll gladly pray with you. And those people that are watching through the internet, the same goes for you. Just get beside somebody there, wherever you are, and ask them to pray with you. You don't need a pastor or an elder to pray with you. You can pray for each other. So just pray with each other, but don't let this day go by without that recommitment. Praise you, Jesus.